Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Hey, I like dogs. There's no such thing as a bad dog, just bad dog owners. And unfortunately, the police can be bad dog owners. I often talk about traffic stops, and people always say, yeah, but Steve, when the traffic stop goes a little bit too long, they show up with a dog. Even if you said you don't want the car searched, the dog will go around the car, the dog will alert, and the police will say, hey, dog says something's in your car. And there's a problem, because you can't cross-examine the dog, and of course, there's no way to tell the dog's even alerting to anything or not. And so people have always been skeptical of police dogs. Lawyer dogs, pretty good. Police dogs, eh-eh. So interestingly enough, Mike sent me a story from techdirt.com. Federal court says every drug dog in Utah is unreliable, basically saying what we've been believing for years. And so it's an interesting story. And now this is, of course, out of Utah. But for as long as people have been driving, cops have been imagining reasons to pull them over and coerce them into a voluntary search. If you don't volunteer for the search, they'll often come up with a reason to explain why they thought they were entitled to a search. And of course, they'll stall you and drag out the stop, and suddenly a dog shows up. Dog walks around your car. Hey, the dog alerted. So then they tear apart your car. So cops are still bringing drug dogs to routine traffic stops. And the Rodriguez decision, which was supposed to put an end to extended traffic stops, is generally taken to mean that cops just need to be quicker about getting the canine unit there. They're not supposed to stall to bring one there, but if one just happens to show up, great. So cops love drug dogs because they allow cops to perform the warrantless search that they want to perform. The drug dog's handler can call literally any movement by the dog an alert, turning normal dog behavior into probable cause for a search. And it doesn't help that dogs are rewarded for every alert and given no positive reinforcement for failing to find anything interesting. So anyone who's got a dog or has had a dog knows how that works. Courts have historically been willing to cut drug dogs slack because the law enforcement handlers insist that the dogs are accurate. Subjective interpretations of anything an animal does to please its master is considered close enough to Fourth Amendment to compliance to justify warrantless searches. Every so often, though, a court will question the reliability of the dog or the intent of its handler, but those are usually outliers. So this case that we're talking about right here is an amazing anomaly. Not only did the court choose to hear from experts on drug dog training and handling, it actually went so far as to call into question the reliability of every drug dog in the state of Utah. So the court wrote, the court has serious concerns about Tank's training and reliability. And Tank is, of course, the dog who belongs to Officer Moore. Officer Moore handled the training in accordance with Utah's Peace Officer Standards and Trainings, which is the POST guidelines. Unfortunately, those guidelines do nothing to prevent officers from turning drug dogs into subservient partners with a desire to please and a willingness to respond to handler cues. Officer Moore claimed he worked with Tank regularly to improve both obedience and drug locating. The court said this simply was not true from what was put into evidence. Notwithstanding Moore's testimony, and I'm reading from the case here, evidence at that hearing raised serious questions about the sufficiency and veracity of Tank's training. First, the police training records supported that between July 2018, when Tank was certified, and November of that year, Officer Moore only conducted 4 trainings with him. Moreover, from October 20th, 2018 through March 2019, a period that enveloped the search of the subject vehicle in this case, Officer Moore only performed 1 narcotic training exercise that involved searching an area that did not contain narcotics, compared to 27 exercises where there were narcotics present to be found. So they're basically training the dog, look, you're always going to find narcotics, you're always going to be rewarded. The defense brought in an expert witness, Dr. Mary Keblick, who has 2 decades of drug dog training experience working with POST units in Nevada and California. She said the absence of blind training is a problem. If the dog is only tested in areas where the handler knows drugs will be found, the dog carries this knowledge onto the real world and will continue to search for non-existent drugs until it gives its handler what they want, and that is an alert. According to the defense expert, drug dogs should be trained thus. In order to properly train a canine, a program must take steps to prevent handler bias and cueing, namely through blind training. Single blind training occurs when the handler does not know how many, if any, quantities of narcotics are hidden in the scenario, but someone else does. The third person may be present to judge whether the dog passed the test. Such a procedure is important because when a handler knows how many hides are present in a scenario, he will continue to search with his dog until the dog finds them all, which does not create a realistic scenario that mimics what happens in real life. Single-blind testing is important to train a dog to work independently and in turn gives a handler confidence in his dog. Nevertheless, single-blind training is insufficient to prevent bias and cueing. Even if the handler does not know how many hides are present in a scenario, research shows that anyone who is present for the training and knows the quantity and or location of the narcotics, even the judge, can inadvertently cue the canine. Thus, in the expert's opinion, the only means that you can use to demonstrate the reliability of a canine is to have no one who is present during the training know how many, if any, hides are present. This is considered double-blind training, and Utah's training does not meet that standard. The Utah Post does not use double-blind training or testing, and its certification testing is not even done single-blind, as the handler knows exactly how many hides will be present. Tank's performance at this traffic stop also left a lot to be desired. Again, it's not the dog's fault. It's the trainer's fault. There are no bad dogs, just bad cops. I mean, bad owners. Tank did not perform a trained final response while conducting a sniff of Mr. Jordan's vehicle. He never demonstrated any clearly objective behavior communicating that he had detected a target odor. Rather, Tank demonstrated the innate natural behavior of a dog going through the paces of sniffing a vehicle. Officer Moore relied on Tank's natural behaviors, which he perceived as alerts, to conclude that Tank had detected the odor of narcotics emitting from Mr. Jordan's vehicle. There is nothing on the video of the sniff from which a third person can objectively conclude that Tank had performed to respond as he had been trained to do when he detected a target odor. So anybody else watching the video go, I don't see anything there. And the handler's going, no, but I could tell because I'm his handler and I have this relationship. At this point, it's basically voodoo or divining rods or something. Fortunately, there was some video, but none of it came from Officer Moore. The court points out that Moore was required to wear a body cam, but was not wearing it during this traffic stop. Isn't that weird? The recording was captured by another officer on the scene, and much of that recording of the stop was obstructed by the officer's vehicle. Then the court goes further, suggesting the state's lax standards for drug dog training make every drug dog in the state unreliable. Here's the ruling. The court finds, based on the testimony of Dr. Kablik and the records before it, that Utah post-training inadequately addresses and therefore fails to remove the risk of inadvertent handler bias or cueing. Specifically, Utah Post's failure to implement double-blind training raises questions as to the independence of its canines and casts doubt as to whether the canines are alerting or indicating because they actually detect the odor of narcotics or because they have learned that displaying such actions is the best way to please their masters. This doubt is not allayed by Utah Post's certification process, as the final test that a canine must pass in order to be certified is not even performed single-blind. So, it's a scathing opinion from a federal court in Utah, and it would be good for anyone who's had an issue with a dog alerting like this to read this opinion. And I suspect you're now going to see more and more challenges, especially in Utah, but across the country, because drug dogs are used everywhere. And I suspect that this training is how they do it everywhere. Okay? And so we've been saying this for years. We've been suspecting it for years, but I've never dug into it to the extent that there have been experts digging into it. But we've all suspected that the dog walks around the car and the handler goes, yeah, he alerted. How? What did he do? You know? So I've seen the demonstrations on 60 Minutes and shows like that where they, you know, they go watch this and they show a dog run into a room and find something. But there's a problem because that's not a scientific test. That's just, they're just, you know, that's anecdotal if nothing else. So what you would need to do if in fact dogs can be trained to do this is do what he's talking about here with a double blind study and prove it that way. But until they do that, the dogs are just doing what they think they're masters want, and that is they're alerting. And if they're not alerting, the handler says they are. So again, I don't blame the dogs. The dogs are innocent here. The dogs need lawyer dogs, but police dogs, no, this is not how they should be used. So again, federal court says every drug dog in Utah is unreliable. Tim Cushing wrote it. Mike sent it to me. It's on techdirt.com. It's a great article, and it's just confirming what we've believed for years. And that canine units going around the car and sniffing aren't really doing anything scientific. There you go. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The man in the video is just a guy talking to himself in a room with a camera. And yes, he is an attorney.